Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, happy Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Paul E.G. is with me. Sean A. Mapes is behind the glass. Of course, you can tweet us, text us your thoughts throughout the show, 713-780-ESPN. Paul, the mistress and the wife meet once again last night, this time at Minute Maid Park.
Yeah, they made it a little awkward for me. I get it. I'm a catch.
Help.
They both love me. But, like, let's keep this, I don't know, off to the side. Maybe together or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, it was confusing, Vanessa.
Sean, in case y'all don't know, Paul used to work in Seattle.
Right.
And in addition to being a Red Sox and Astros fan, then picked up the Seattle Mariners under his belt. So last night, it was not the 7-4 score of which the Astros lost at Minute Maid Park that got the most attention. It was once again with two outs left in the top of the ninth. There was an issue. We remember, of course, Ryan Pressly getting tossed the other night. Last night, this is what happened. It's called by Todd Callis and Jeff Blum.
Uh-oh. That went up and in. Here goes a throw to second. If warnings had been issued, that has to be it for Neris, even if it was an accident, right?
Well, and Neris keeps looking at his hand.
But if you're going to issue warnings and then one goes over the head of the hitter.
That was a bad one.
That's got to be it.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it slipped, and I want Hector Neris to stay in the game.
Dusty goes with his pitcher after the warning.
Yep.
But you're right. He could explain it, and it could have actually been a ball that slipped out of the hand. But up and in behind the hitter, that's just bad timing.
All right, so the bench is cleared, and there was a little bit of, I wouldn't call it a brawl. Nobody threw punches, but it was an intense moment. And what we were talking about before the show, guys, is that it's really hard to tell how this started.
Yeah, so Kyle Tucker was thrown at earlier, if I'm not mistaken. And in that situation, the Astros, you could argue, threw at Ty France. And I think that the way that the Astros are looking at it is that, hey, you threw at our best player. Things are already chippy. The Mariners have had a good deal of success against the Astros to this point this year. And on the Mariners' side of it, they're like, what the hell? What's going on? You're clearly throwing at our guy in the ninth inning. At least that's based off of what their manager, Scott Service, said after the game. I'll be honest. I was confused. I feel like even the umpire was a little confused. Did Ty France actually get hit there? Who knows what the hell actually happened? That it got to a point where both sides came out of the dugouts is pretty funny to me. I have a hard time entirely buying into the idea that in a one-run game, the Astros would have intentionally thrown at Ty France with two outs in the top of the ninth, because obviously they don't want the inning to continue. And when it did continue, you saw Julio Rodriguez for Seattle hit a home run. So I don't know. It seemed like Scott Service, the manager of the Mariners, was a bit of a hardo, clearly saying, like, bleep you from the dugout.
There was an ISO shot, like a close-up of him during the escalation of this where he looked like he was talking. And he looked like he was kind of agging it on. As always, we see Dusty Baker's going to put on for his guys. I love it 100% of the time. He's the OG. It's one of the many reasons I love him. But this was definitely odd. A rivalry? Is this a rivalry?
It's not. I mean, it's so one-sided. It's one of the most one-sided back and forths that we've seen. And maybe things are a little different this year. Maybe things are a little bit different given that there was that one series, I want to say it was in July, where the Mariners had a big deficit against the Astros. This was right after they traded Kendall Graveman from Seattle to Houston. And that big comeback, like everyone in Seattle was super excited about it, but the Astros still took 2 of 3 in that series. It's not a rivalry, Vanessa. Maybe Seattle's trying to make it one. Honestly, I'm good with it. And look, people should know when they are conquered, and Seattle has been very much baseball-wise conquered for 20 years, but the American League West is the most boring division. It really is. I mean, the Mike Trotanis have lost 300 games in a row, give or take. The Oakland A's have quit again, surprise. And the Texas Rangers haven't been relevant since Nelson Cruz blew the World Series in 2011. So I'm here for all challengers so that you can snuff them out.
Yeah. Any drama is good drama. Here's Dusty Baker on that incident that happened last night against the Mariners.
You know, hit the batter, and then Scott Service came out, and then our guys came out. You know, our coaches came out, and this is the fourth time we've seen him. And, you know, that there's, you know, some bad blood brewing even from last year. And, it's the beginning of summertime. You know, I mean, usually in the summertime is when tempers flare, tolerance is short, and then, you know, he certainly wasn't trying to throw at him and hit him. I think he might be leading the league and getting hit, and, you know, you got to pitch him inside.
That is a fair point.
From Mark Berman's phone, of course. We appreciate Mark Berman being on it audio-wise. I love Dusty, but yeah, the summertime is when tempers flare.
You know,
is one of those things where you're at the press conference and you want to go home and you got to give a reason. So instead, you're just going to say it's summertime and the tempers flare.
It's Minute Maid Park, so you know we're talking about a ballpark where the air conditioning is working really hard. So some days it might not quite be 72 degrees; it might be 75, and it's nothing that quite grinds my gears than when it says on the thermostat that it's supposed to be 72 and it's 75. So, yeah, you know, the boys just letting out their frustrations because the air conditioning wasn't high enough. It was a confusing brawl, but these two teams clearly have bad blood. It's a little awkward for me being in the middle of it, seeing people that I like from Seattle going after people that I like from Houston and vice versa.
Yeah, what was up with that? What was up with that?
Jeremy Branham
from our station, who is one of the nicest guys, by the way, like ever.
Yeah, well, per my Seattle friends, Jeremy Branham is Satan himself, the Antichrist. So it was interesting hearing their perspective, sharing their truths, if you will. And you know, all opinions do matter here in 2022. But yeah, look, they came in hives after Jeremy. They once came in hives after Ben DuBose, who has blocked all of them. So look, angry fan bases that are jaded, cynical, and beaten down, which is why I like Mariners fans.
But they don't strike me as a notoriously wild and angry fan. Is it all of the emo music in Seattle?
No, it's there's this weird dynamic with Seattle where they really like, even though they're quiet and keep to themselves, and you know, like a lot of West Coast people, a little bit passive aggressive, there is a side of them that loves the Gary Paytons of the world, that loves the Richard Shermans of the world. They love the brash person who is willing to stand up, because a lot of them, I guess, aren't willing to do it. I've talked about this dynamic before. I don't want to give too much of the Seattle perspective of things. Seattle was in the wrong here with the way that they operated, and I really think that it all boils down to Scott Service and how he was acting. But again, I have no problem with this. Baseball has too many games. It's an 162-game season, and if one of the teams that the Astros play, 20 times a year, an eighth of their games over the course of the year, decides that they want to turn this into a beef, hell yeah, I'll take it. Now, I would ask the Mariners, my, you know, ex, like, hey, know what you're getting into. I mean,
I bet your ex wish you would.
You are getting into something that maybe you don't quite want to, but they clearly are quite confident in themselves. I think it's misplaced given the way that they've started the year. They've been a tremendous disappointment to open things up, but I'm here for it. I like the rivalry.
At Jeremy Branham on Twitter, the tweet that kind of started it all, the Mariners, soon to be 10 games back and in fourth place in the AL West, are trying really hard to make this a rivalry. So we ask you,
he's not wrong,
our vegetarian listeners, Astros Mariners, rivalry or no rivalry? And of course, we want your opinion on this. So go ahead and text us, or of course, you can reach out to us, 713-780-ESPN.
And I really think you should be open to this rivalry because, I mean, what? Are we just going to wait for the two Yankee series a year? Because really, that's the only other team on your level.
So, it's kind of how you want like the games against the Texans and the AFC South teams to be good.
That's what I was thinking last night, Vanessa. This feels like your Colts in the AFC South just like beating up on these small children, the Texans, the Titans, and the Colts. They're like punting, or excuse me, the Jaguars. I forgot their names even. You know, they're like just messing with them, like a father messing with a kid on one of those like little toddler basketball hoops. You know, this is what the Astros are. But if one of these teams feels like they got big boy pants, come on, bring it on.
Yordan Alvarez, meanwhile, fresh off that nice new contract, 4 home runs and 8 RBI. This, of course, is his stats as AL Player of the Week. So in addition to batting average, he led the majors in slugging and OPS for the week.
This guy's
dominant. This is why Astros fans were so excited that the Astros extended, of course, that contract. And Yordan, really, really good week for Yordan Alvarez, significantly.
It does have me wondering about something else, though, because the last person to win the AL Player of the Week for the Astros was Alex Bregman. That was in the midst of April. And Alex Bregman, it looked like at the time, was going to be off to an awesome start when you saw that. And it has not been that for Alex Bregman this year. We were hoping he was going to be 100% healthy. And I guess the other question I have, first off, as Vanessa asked, 713-780-3776, is this a rivalry? But, you know, just looking at Alex Bregman right now, do you feel confident that we are going to see the guy that once was one of the best third basemen in all of baseball again this year?
He's definitely had a couple of slumps throughout the years, and then this year has just been a really long time. So we're going to ask you guys at 11 a.m., and we want to know, are you worried about Alex Bregman this season, or is it no big deal? All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Mike Florio on a possible landing spot for Lamar Jackson. Should a contract not get done in Baltimore? That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit hrp.net today. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We're going to be talking about UT softball later on with our resident UT fan, Sean Mapes. We're going to talk about NFL right now, though. Lamar Jackson, no deal done yet in Baltimore. We've heard this spun a bajillion different ways. John Harbaugh telling reporters, look, Lamar Jackson is just simply focused on winning a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson tweeting that people are tripping, etc. Basically saying, why is the media worried about this? Lamar Jackson, Raven for life, etc., etc. But there is a cause for concern. I think that, you know, if you are a Ravens fan, certainly stranger things can happen and have happened. And Lamar Jackson switching teams and going somewhere else would shake up the entire league. Mike Florio, of course, of Pro Football Talk was on the Rich Eisen show and had a theory about where the quarterback could end up should he not stay in Baltimore.
I still say between those two, it's more likely that he struggles and it's Brady in 2023 or the first guy you mentioned other than Tua, Lamar Jackson. In 2023.
If the Ravens
don't get this deal done with him, and he's made it clear he doesn't want to negotiate this season, there's going to be a window of opportunity for them to finally do this after the season, assuming he engages. There's going to be a point where I think the Ravens get exasperated. I don't know this. I never know anything life safer that way. I think that at some point the Ravens are going to throw their hands in the air and say, we got to move on. If this guy's not going to take our money, we just have to move on. You tag him and you trade him and you maybe trade him to the Miami Dolphins if they're looking for an upgrade over Tua after this season.
I don't get that. Why not just tag him? You're exasperated. You're going to be really exasperated in a post having Lamar Jackson as your quarterback era. Think about Baltimore's history with quarterbacks. Joe Flacco had a couple of good seasons, but all in all, were Ravens fans really satisfied with what Joe Flacco brought to the table year to year? No. The reason that the Ravens have been relevant as long as they have been is because Ozzie Newsome did a really good job in building Baltimore's defense, which has found a way to be like pretty good for basically two decades straight. Maybe not as good as they were at the turn of the 2000s. I don't understand why any team would get exasperated to the point of moving on from a quarterback, and I'd throw the Seattle Seahawks into this category as well, no matter how annoying their quarterback is being in their eyes, I just don't understand it. You found a guy who won MVP.
You don't think they should have traded Russell?
No.
Yeah.
No. No. Even with all of the annoyances with him, like, no, just put your foot down. Make him be the bad guy. He's clearly not willing to be it. Instead, they decided to do him a solid, or maybe they were just annoyed by all the headache, and they thought to themselves, well, let's just get this over with. That would be a mistake. Think Seattle's going to be good anytime in the near future with Drew Lock or Geno Smith under center, or best case scenario, Baker Mayfield? I'm saying that's what Baltimore should be looking at right now.
What was surprising to me was when he said that they would be exasperated. I mean, we're seeing quarterbacks that I don't think are as quality as Lamar Jackson take Kyler Murray and who have proven less. You know, their teams are making a bigger effort for them to stay. What's more exasperating than dealing with Lamar Jackson would be trying to find another franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
We've seen how hard that is to find. You've seen it in Houston, certainly, and not to bring up something that happened so recently, but look, on the field, you know, off the field issues aside, it's going to be really hard to find somebody as good as Deshaun Watson on the field.
Is Lamar Jackson actually going to be willing to sit out? I would say for the most part, these quarterbacks aren't. Be the bad guy. I will make you be the bad guy before I decide to move on from an asset that I would have total control over keeping for the next couple of years. And if you're not sold on Lamar Jackson year in, year out, well, guess what? That's what the franchise tag is for. You can slap him with the franchise tag, and I mean, he's got nowhere to go. He can sit out if he wants, but honestly, that's probably the better strategy for Baltimore going forward. With Kirk Cousins, all right, maybe it didn't necessarily work out in the way that Washington wanted it to, but they got to continue to see whether or not they liked him, and I guess they were still in that weird zone where, yeah, he's good, but he's not great, and we feel like we could do better, so they decided ultimately to move on. But I think in this situation with Lamar Jackson, who is a guy who I do think injuries are eventually going to tailor the way that he plays, change dramatically, force him to adapt the way that he plays, just give him the franchise tag every single year. This is not an issue. So it's an idea by Florio. I don't know that it's something that has a lot of
a very
meat to it.
Dog days of summer idea. I asked Sean Mapes behind the glass, who also follows the NFL closely, what you would think of Lamar Jackson and if he would ever, the Baltimore Ravens would ever trade him, especially to somewhere like Miami.
Yeah, I thought it was from Mike Florio. It's very creative, but I also think it's a little bit of what you see in the NBA all the time where you just go, oh, Lamar's from Miami. Miami needs a quarterback. Could Lamar go to Miami? It happens with every single NBA free agent or guy who's unhappy. You just Wikipedia where he went to high school and then like, oh, they could use him.
It's a good point, and his mom is his agent. So, you know, unless his mom's giving this information to
Maybe
Mike
Florio.
Maybe
she wants to go home. Yeah.
She may want to go home. She may say, honey, we have a summer house. Let's come. How would this impact a potential QB shuffle? We saw quite the QB shuffle this offseason, obviously, with the Russell Wilson trade, with Aaron Rodgers ends up staying, Deshaun Watson goes to Cleveland. A big quarterback shuffle offseason. How would this impact that if that were to happen?
I mean, I think obviously you would look at Miami a little bit differently if it were to have him there. I guess I still just constantly look at Miami and the fact that they have these new looking uniforms and I just can't take them seriously. Like the old school look that they had from the 70s, honestly, at least they won with those. Well, I don't understand what they were going for. Like, hey, we have Ryan Tannehill under center. Let's get these weird streamlined looks and make it look like we're like a futuristic version of Dolphins that have no eyeballs. I mean, how much does it really change things? I guess I don't really know what like would happen next, but look, if Lamar Jackson's not with Baltimore, you take Baltimore less seriously, that's for sure. And the AFC North is a lot less of a tough division. It would be a division that would only have, at this point in time, two quarterbacks, and they're both on the Ohio teams, not on Baltimore, not on Pittsburgh.
All right. Meanwhile, the NFL has been making a huge effort to have international games and to spread across the country, not only across the country, but internationally. And the NFL announced this morning they're going to seek talent in Africa. The NFL is going to host first official events. It'll be called NFL Africa, The Touchdown.
So racist. My God.
It includes a talent identification camp, a fan event, and a flag football clinic. It underscores, this is of course per the NFL, their commitment to develop more ways to serve its growing fan base. There will be a Texans player taking part in it. He's from Nigeria. Ogbonia Akaroknoa.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
I mean, why aren't they looking in Asia? Why aren't they looking in Australia?
What is your what are your thoughts on the talent identification
Antarctica.
Camp, Sean and Paul?
I just think it's really convenient that they're looking at Africa. Here's the problem, and I'm joking right now. I know that there's a think piece coming from someone who doesn't follow football. They're like, oh, of course they're going to Africa. Like, well, why? Well, why do you say that? Don't say that.
They're not having a talent acquisition camp in Munich, are they?
They're not having one in London. Italy.
Yeah, they're not looking for any bruvs.
I want some guys from the Balkans, you know? I want real tough guys. I want people who have been through, I don't know, actual wars.
Get Jokic in a three-point stance.
Mm-hmm.
See what he can do.
Why aren't we looking at Ukraine, huh? Like, they got some, you know, battle-tested guys, clearly. Russia, I think so, too.
They indeed do.
That is interesting. I'm surprised, honestly, that there has not been, on a serious note, more of an effort to try and find players overseas. I guess it would be a little bit difficult, given that no one knows what the hell football is outside of the United States, unless you explain it to them, and they're still, I think, generally confused by it, because they understand rugby. The whole world understands rugby. We're like, what? Oh, yeah, the Houston Sabercats. Go Sabercats. But what? I don't get it.
Rugby, cricket. All of these
crickets,
things. I'm
so
from the Midwest,
confusing.
So lacrosse, never really have watched a lacrosse. Is it match, game? I don't really know. With all seriousness, though, we do talk about the NFL trying to expand. And as the NFL tries to expand, they have 5 international games coming up next year. They're mm-hmm. hosting these talent camps in Africa, apparently, talent acquisition camps. How do you guys see the game growing? I mean, this is obviously the most popular sport in the U.S.
It's never going to leave the U.S. They got to stop.
You don't think even for London?
No. The Limeys are going to appreciate football, first off? Second, like no. They're more concerned with, like, tea and, like, some random, like, third league team in London because there's, like, 80 teams there. I think the thing is here, you just find markets that are nearby that you can expand into that would be into this. As opposed to, hey, let's, like, find massive cities that we can build a market in. I'm sorry, London will be a satellite forever. It's not a essentially like a colony for you. It's not going to embrace football the same way that the United States does. It just never will. So look elsewhere in the States.
Like
look elsewhere
NFL
in Canada,
team in
Mexico.
A city like that.
I mean, it would be hard to get that past, I would imagine, the Texans and the Cowboys.
Right.
But I feel like there are places here that would be into an NFL team. It's just a matter of, you know, going in with it. And this constant desire to expand the league across the world. I don't know. I feel like you've found all the markets that you're going to find.
Ian Rappaport brought up a really good point when those international games were announced, because he was asked, okay, does this mean that within the next decade, I think it was Robert Kraft, one of the owners had said within the next decade that there would be a team in London. Ian Rappaport disagreed and said it had less to do with finances and more to do with timeline. Which players would want to live in London? The ones that don't want to live in London, how do they get back and forth for practices, for OTAs, etc.? The time zone difference I thought was really interesting. But if you could have an NFL expansion team, they'd have to probably have 2 here in the States. It would be interesting to hear people say what cities they think deserve expansion teams.
Mexico City, Toronto.
I think that's it. So you include Canada?
Yeah, barely, but yeah.
not a Canada fan.
I was going to say they should focus on trying to expand interest in, like, Mexico and Canada, like places that could theoretically have NFL teams.
Or where there actually is interest. Like Mexico City, like there are fans that are from south of the border that like the NFL, that understand how it works. A lot of Cowboys fans down there.
And I know Brazil also has a very high, like when they do like the amount of NFL fans in each country, Brazil is also very high on that list.
But that would be a little trickier. The just geographics of stuff, it's still a big deal as far as travel and getting players willing. Like, because if you're going to actually have an even playing field for every single team in free agency, then you are going to need to have, as you were talking about before, things that are relatively close. And look, Mexico City is going to be a tough sell for, I would imagine, a lot of players. Like,
well,
which it is low-key. Oh, wow, I'm sounding like a Gen Zer. A cool place. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah, for real.
Well,
NGL.
According to the mayor of Fort Worth, he thinks that they should have a second team there, which would, I think, probably never happen again, like you say, because of Jerry Jones. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are continuing our NFL countdown, 93 days until the start of the NFL season. And, of course, we got to talk about that Aaron Donald deal. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Aaron Donald last week had said that he wasn't, or I guess it was 2 weeks ago, had said that he wasn't even sure he would come back and play again. That was on a podcast. He said that he loved winning a Super Bowl and makes you hungry for more, but he would be fine retiring and hanging it up. I personally didn't buy it. I don't think any of us bought it. And then over the weekend, we see videos of him, shimmying and doing the conga line at Sean McVay's wedding. So no surprise, the deal is done. He has signed a three-year, $95 million contract to stay in L.A. That replaces the current deal he has. So he's going to get $65 million the next 2 years and become the first non-quarterback ever to earn over $30 million a year.
It's the same contract, just with $40 million more. Do you think if he hadn't been shimmying or in the Congo line at Sean McVay's wedding,
got it done,
would there have been tweets about it? Is Aaron Donald coming back to the Rams? Coming up next.
You know, oftentimes I think sports media, well, I know sports media people try to name drop. I will say that Peter Schrager on Good Morning Football did bring up a good point. He was at Sean McVay's wedding, and he said he noticed that, like, Aaron Donald was hugging a lot of the front office guys at Sean McVay's wedding this past weekend. I actually do think that's a good nugget of information, because it tells you that it was probably done sometime last week.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Or he was just very drunk.
Or, you know what, a lot of alcohol consumed. Hug me, brother. We won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Was the deal struck by drunks? Were they all intoxicated at the wedding and thought, you know what?
This is not what you sound like, drunk,
love
by the
you,
way.
Man, first off, second, dude. You want an extension, man? I just love you. Run it back, bro. Hey, listen. We're going to be together forever, man. So it's just never going to be bad times. Okay?
He wakes up the next day. Oh, damn, I did that. Well, all right.
Sean McVay's wedding cake, by the way, I showed our Sean Mapes this video, a Lombardi trophy, which is the most McVay thing
Flex
ever.
Flex a little harder.
He actually bit into the Lombardi trophy cake.
Hey, Aaron, did you win the Super Bowl this past year? Hey, Sean.
Did you? Yeah.
Tell us more about the time you won the Super Bowl. I'm sure every single party that he has been to this offseason, he's like, you know, when I won the Super Bowl, I flashes this new watch. It was just one of those moments where I realized, like, I was at inner peace with myself, and, like, goes off on some bullshit, you know what, California diatribe.
This reminds me of the third quarter against the Bengals. It was in the Super Bowl, by the way. We won.
I will say this, they're embracing the L.A. thing. I mean, he and his wife both had an outfit change.
Yeah,
they
they're basic.
The Lombardi, I mean, it was very, very, very obvious
you know
that
what?
It was Los Angeles.
He also could have used change out for himself during the playoffs when he was making boneheaded game management decisions, like continuously giving the ball to a guy who was coming off of a torn Achilles, Cam Akers. Hey, let's give him the ball. That would have been a nice change to make. I can't believe he won the Super Bowl. It drives me crazy.
Do you think he ended up having, like, the flower girl or whatever do the flowers on a torn ACL
or
something?
Oh, definitely.
The ring bearer or something.
Yeah, he was probably
suit up, kid. Remember when we won the Super Bowl? I don't care if you're my new niece by marriage. Grow some balls.
You see Cam Akers right there? He's going to be doing the conga line with Aaron Donald.
Yeah.
And he tore his ACL this time last year.
Hey, we'll fix it. Like, something breaks at the wedding, just throw a first round pick at it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Screw the picks, right? Yeah. All right. So with him becoming the highest ever non-quarterback in the NFL, highest paid, I shouldn't say highest. I don't know what his recreation habits
he
are.
Was so high
highest
at the
paid non-quarterback. What'd you say?
The highest non-quarterback in the NFL history.
No question. Donald's the obvious answer for who should be. But who would you, fellas, be willing to give a lot of money to the point to where you're borderline overpaying? Paul, I start with you.
So this is one that it'll never happen because the market value for the position says that what he's making right now is totally fine. But I've long felt that this position is underpaid. Travis Kelce, I would overpay. If I could buy him out from his contract that he's with Kansas City right now to have him on my team, I 100% would do it at a rate that would match with wide receivers. The guy has been leading the league in receiving for, what, like two of the last 3 years? He gets a ton of receptions, produces, is great after the catch, maybe not the best blocker, but, I mean, he's everything that you want in today's tight end. He is a unguardable option when you're throwing to him. And consistently, the whoopee or the security blanket for Patrick Mahomes. And there's nobody else like him at his position. I mean, maybe I like George Kittle a lot. Kittle's definitely a lot more of a bruiser at tight end, but Kelsey's the guy, even if he is a little bit strange.
Twitch is correcting me because I accidentally typed out defensive player, but this, to be clear, the question is non-quarterback.
Yes.
So you can go with any non-quarterback.
Any non-quarterback.
I'm going to say Myles Garrett, and I did go defensive on this one. I think defense was on my mind because of Aaron Donald, but look, off the field stuff aside, once Deshaun Watson comes back, I expect him to, instead of being rusty, to be fresh. And I think that this Cleveland Browns team has the chance to be a really complete team. I love the way that Myles Garrett puts on for his team, even if he gets a little violent sometimes.
Yeah, I like that he's willing to use a helmet to,
right,
you know,
really
take out
make
a quarterback.
His point. Yeah, really make his point.
It's a real exclamation
I
point.
I would overpay for Myles Garrett. I'm not sure what his contract situation is, but you're welcome to all the Aggie fans out there. I think that he's a big piece of the Browns. And I think, again,
the most valuable thing he has, Vanessa, is his Aggie ring. So
it's, oh God,
not his contract.
12th man much?
Yeah.
Sean, who are you? Which non-quarterback are you overpaying for?
I'm going to go with Paul's guy, who probably has the most mentions in our countdown series. Probably been the answer to the most questions, Micah Parsons.
Oh,
out of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
I would just pay him. And he's younger than a lot of the guys we mentioned. So, yeah, you just throw a mega deal at him. Also, for someone who, like, I can't make an actual case for it, like a football case at all for it, but Vita Vea from the Bucks.
It's a good one.
I just like the giant, like 360 pounders, who is surprisingly light on his feet.
Those guys are terrifying.
Him? Yeah, how would you block him? He'd be the most terrifying guy in the league.
Well, so a couple of years ago, I did a tryout for the Houston SaberCats, which was
I always forget this happened.
I was peer pressured into it by Seth Payne, so I showed up after doing I basically did like a Chinese restaurant tour in Chinatown here in Houston, and like had a ton of sake and other drinks like all night long, and should not have showed up the way that I did, but whatever.
Is this him saying?
Into my point.
I would have.
No, I didn't know. I had no chance of making it. They gave me a jersey that said Waterboy on the back of it. And I didn't want to give them a shout out because they did. They are apparently in the playoffs, which is great for the first time ever. But there were some guys who were clearly from, you know, like Samoa and other places, who I looked at them and I'm like, how is this guy going to be on a rugby field? Like he's essentially like a 5'8" bowling ball who's definitely 300 pounds. And then I watched some of these guys like actually, you know, doing things. And this guy had like one of the highest verticals of everybody there. He had one of the better 40 times of everyone there. He had the best broad jump of everybody there. And I think he actually ended up making it on as a walk-on to the SaberCats. And I was just like, how are guys from that part of the world so large and yet so quick and athletic? It makes no sense to me. So I think Vita Vea is a great one because that is one of those guys who you're like, how are you so good at everything? You are abnormally large and yet you are quick as like a fencer.
And he's the one that came back and said that he was maybe he was the one that said he was at, somebody said they were at Texas Roadhouse when they found out Tom Brady unretired with their mom. It was a very funny story. I don't remember if it was Vita Vea. But yeah, we're getting a lot of response on Twitch and the text line of who people would want to come back, you know, non-quarterback that people would pay for. We've gotten a couple of J.J. Watts.
Not
now
anymore.
Listen, would you overpay for J.J.
No.
Watt now?
No.
I mean, I know this is Houston, but
not anymore. He look, the injuries, it's a real problem now. And I mean, it's been an issue for just about every single year, it feels like, for the last like 5-6 years. Like, when was the last time? Was it 2018? Was that the last time that he was healthy for a full season? Was it 2019? I mean,
2020, he was healthy the entire year.
Okay, there you go.
A little bit of a contract year stuff.
Oh.
Well, it's just that was his last healthy year, like, to put on tape, and then he asked to be released.
Yeah, and the Texans, quote-unquote, did him a solid. Never forget. Micah Parsons, 0061, says on the text line. So somebody else on the same page as you, Sean Mapes.
You can play any position.
Yeah, a lot of interesting answers as we are heading into the season, which will have some OTAs that's happening right now. We're going to have a little bit of training camp coming up. But 93 days until the NFL season. Yesterday I said 42. I do think that was wishful thinking, obviously. All right, wishful thinking. Do you wish for a cheaper home insurance? I know you probably don't shop for it because it's so annoying, but listen to me. I'm going to make it really easy for you thanks to TGS. It's not a hassle. They have a new system. Over 36 carriers. It instantly shops that for you, and you get a full quote in just 15 seconds. All you have to do is send a single text. You're going to save a bunch of money. So take out your phone, text MONEY, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your home address. You send it back, and you get that full quote with great coverage within 15 seconds. This is the real deal, guys. The company is legit. The savings legit. The online rating is nearly perfect. And the average customer from last year is saving over $870. No one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS makes it the easiest it's been. And you're only one text away from big savings. One more time. Text MONEY to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN
92.5.
Warrior
sound!
Real. Let's go! Fun. Sports. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Tuesday. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you. Appreciate you joining us on ESPN 97.5 at 92.5. You can, of course, watch us if you want to on Twitch. You can stream us on the ESPN app. All right, yesterday, a 24th lawsuit came into effect, became official against Deshaun Watson. It was, of course, another civil lawsuit. As of last week, there were 22. There have since been two more filed. We know that he is now in Cleveland. We're well aware, but the majority of these things happened allegedly in Harris County. So anything court-related is going to happen here. And he is the former, you know, Texans' former franchise quarterback.
We don't have to explain. If this is something that you're not into.
No, but there's a lot of people that.
I mean, I get it.
And it's all radio stations, TV stations. Why are you talking about Watson? Why are you talking? Here's the thing. It's in the lead story, too, on, like, national shows.
I get it. Look, we know what's happening here, and you know what's happening here, and it continues to be more and more information. It's not like we're just saying the same thing over and over again. The thing is, we're saying new things every day because there's something new every single day with this guy. And I found yesterday the way that, first off, we found out about the most recent lawsuit against Deshaun Watson, which was disgusting, the details alleged. And on top of that, the way that it was responded to by Rusty Harden, by others, was also interesting as well. The NFL, too. The NFL was like, oh, we got no comment on it.
So, league spokesman Brian McCarthy said that they have no update. We will decline comment as the matter remains under review. I would have thought by now that the NFL investigation would not only be done, but as we head into the summer, that there would be a punishment, suspension, or lack thereof handed down and announced. But no update from the NFL. And then Rusty Harden saying, we're unable to respond to the new lawsuit at this time. Our legal team has not had time to investigate this new filing and had not heard her name until today. Deshaun continues to deny anything inappropriate happened.
What's crazy about this is the last time that a lawsuit was sent in, Rusty Harden was like, yeah, Tony Busby, real POS. In a nutshell, that's what it was. Hey, Tony Busby, cartoon character. Can you believe he's representing all 23 of these clients? And this time around, probably after he shoved his foot and then his other foot in his mouth, he has decided to take a different stance because I think he's starting to realize, oh, I've done a horrible, horrible job with all of this. But that was a strikingly different tone that he showed there. Yeah, we don't have anything to say right now. We're still figuring out the details. We just found out about this allegation.
Here's the thing. Do you remember when Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson had the 10 to 15 masseuses that came out and allegedly supported him? And that was a major defense that they had, really not maybe in court or in the civil case, excuse me, but with the media and with the public was, hey, yes, there are these 20-some at the time masseuses that are against him, but here are 10 to 15 that like him and speak highly of him. I would assume, I would hope, that Rusty Harden and the Browns, who say that they did their own investigation, would have heard this woman's name, would have at least known. I mean, I would hope that they've gone through every massage that Deshaun got over a period of 2 years, written the names down, done background. If they've never heard of this woman, I think that's a problem for Deshaun and Rusty Harden.
Here's the thing, though. Can you do that? Doesn't Rusty Harden have to have some trust in Deshaun Watson for this to even go as far as it's gone? Do you think, just given what we are starting to believe Watson's nature to be through these allegations, that he would be 100% truthful with every single allegation and maybe non-allegation? Do you think he would let Rusty Harden know about every single massage that he got? And I ask that because in this most recent lawsuit, defendant Deshaun Watson, writes the suit, has a disturbing pattern of conduct. Each of the cases against him is strikingly similar, evidencing a habit or custom. Watson seeks out random strangers on Instagram, as he has done more than 100 times. He has done that more than 100 times. Just think about that. So to go back to Watson and what he's telling his lawyer and how his lawyer is going to be best able to defend him, is Deshaun Watson telling Rusty Harden about every single individual massage therapist that he has interacted with? Because it sounds like it's a lot. And I think the odds are no. And I wonder how that affects any relationship between Harden and Watson, and if there's some behind the scenes
I've wondered that
disagreements
too.
Going on right now.
Especially with Harden's recent, I mean, I think it was a slip up on sports radio, you know, the Texans flagship,
yeah,
where he said the happy ending. He may not have any regrets. He may have, quote unquote, clarified what he said.
But he did.
But he said it, and I wonder what Deshaun's agent and his marketing manager and all of those think of that. And I wonder what the Cleveland Browns think of it. But yes, the 24th lawsuit against Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden issuing what a lot of people are saying was a little bit of an aggressive statement. As Watson Watch 2022 continues, the Cleveland media still hasn't heard from him. Quarterbacks, I think, are required to talk to the media once training camp begins.
They're going to start squawking about that because there's nothing quite like a beat reporter that feels like his beat writing rights have been violated. Why haven't I been able to speak to this quarterback and have him answer all of the questions I throw his way with cliches? Or in the case of Deshaun Watson, just saying the same thing three things over and over again. I've never intentionally disrespected, hurt, or abused any women. Like he's Bill Clinton.
Watson made sure that he, by the way, gifted one of the players a Rolex in front of the media. So even though he won't talk to the media, he handed them a Rolex.
Maybe
watch.
Buy the media some Rolexes. See how far that takes you. You know?
That's a lot of people on the text line, too, that wonder.
It's a lost cause.
Right. I mean, it's just this whole thing with Watson is a lot, and it is going to continue to be a story. If you think about it, if they do not settled the 23 cases, that means that there would be potentially 23 trials. And according to Rusty Harden, these are what stopped him from going to Miami. And, you know, Miami was the destination.
Settled. He really should have settled before it turned into a circus. I mean, if he wanted this to get behind him as quickly as he possibly could, he handled this so wrong. You were never going to exonerate yourself in the court of public opinion now. And I mean, that's what this is all about, it feels like. There seems to be this belief in Watson's camp that they can prove him innocent, and that part of the fact that he has not been charged with anything criminally is like this big, massive victory for them. No, it's not. Anyone who has a brain realizes, like, ever since the O.J. Simpson trial, like, that doesn't mean a damn thing. Our legal system's weird.
It is very weird, and time will tell what happens with Deshaun Watson. Maybe Baker Mayfield suits up. I think that dynamic could get very interesting. All right, UT softball, guys, unseeded.
Yeah.
Now heading to the championship of the College World Series. So for that, we bring in our producer slash resident UT grad.
And big UT fan, softball guy.
Hook 'em Horns.
I think he knows more about UT softball than anybody.
Sean Mapes.
That might be true.
Tell us what we need to know.
So Mike White, not the former Jets quarterback, but the softball coach for Texas, came from Oregon 2019.
Nice.
And really pulled the Lincoln Riley because he took a bunch of players from Oregon with him and went from Texas softball went from like a 500-ish program to now like in the national championship game.
Casual.
In 2 years because COVID was ended one season before it really started. So,
Is that why he left Oregon? Was he trying to get away from ridiculous Pacific Northwestern restrictions?
Well, then he knew about it in 2019, which is
ahead of time, right? Yeah. Like, some people knew.
Where was he? No. did he take a vacation anywhere?
Welcome to QAnon.
And one of the pitchers that he brought with him was Miranda Ellish, who was very good at Texas and then transferred to Oklahoma State. So then fast forward to last night, Texas is playing a doubleheader where they have to win both games to make the World Series.
Okay.
And they beat Miranda Ellish and the Oklahoma State Cowboys or Cowgirls to go. They're getting no hit in the last game for most of the night. And then they had a giant inning where they got two hits and they hit what should have been inning-ending double play. And the Oklahoma State girl throws into center field, and all three runs score.
She tried her best.
Yes, and so Texas now has a 6-5 lead, and they held on to that for the rest of the game.
So why were they, if they were so good, why were they unseeded?
Well, they weren't like, they're good, but they're much better than they were.
Ooh.
But they're still not like, they're not Oklahoma, who's like number one in the country, who's like 101 or something.
Oh, wow. So this is a real battle of David and Goliath.
Yes.
And Texas is back.
Yeah, for sure.
Every sport that's not football.
Yes. I actually, hold on. I
because Texas baseball is good.
Texas baseball is in the super regionals right now.
Okay.
They hosted a regional.
Texas basketball has been a little disappointing.
So Texas basketball, but they still made the second round of the NCAA tournament.
That is true.
Men's tennis won a championship. Men's golf won a championship. Baseball is in the final 16. Mm. Swimming finished second in the national championship.
Swimming.
They normally win the national championship. Track and field is currently ranked number 5.
Okay.
And Texas football went 5-7.
Well, maybe they should consider contracting the football program, you know?
It is, if you think about it.
It's a big money waster.
Such a waste of resources.
I mean, they have one of the top athletic budgets other than A&M, right?
A&M and Texas flip on whatever Forbes list you're looking at every other year. They're 1-2. And then Texas women's sports is also insane. We're women's basketball lost in the Elite Eight.
Their volleyball team's good. Jermaine O'Neal's daughter plays for their volleyball team.
Yes. they lost in the regional finals. Track and field, women's track and field is number 1. Rowing won the national championship. Softball's in the championship game.
Yeah.
Tennis won a national championship. Golf finished number 13.
The football team that's the worst.
Yes. The next worst is women's soccer, who finished number 22 in the country.
Wow. And they're good. Damn.
And then Texas football, again, losing record, lost 6 straight games in the middle of the season.
At least they're doing well against. No, that's not. That's not happening, so...
The donors, big mad.
It's time to contract Texas football, okay? You know, put more money into the softball program. This is a softball school now.
You know what you saw at Oklahoma when Oklahoma softball was really good? They did get new facilities. They did get some new upgrades. So shout out to the Longhorn women's softball team.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them. We'll be rooting for them throughout the series, of course, in the championships. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, are you worried about Alex Bregman? We're going to tackle that topic, plus talk about a list of the best coaches in the NFL that's caused a little bit of controversy. That's next.
ESPN 97.5.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.